Blog Talk Radio.
Lady that can own the night, angel in the dress, blessing in disguise. When hearts connect, you can see it in the eyes. No metaphor for your aura, baby, you got it. In your love bank, let me make a deposit. Give you my time before I give you my wallet. Give you the world just cause you deserve it. Never have I seen a picture so perfect. Go girl, work it, work out just to look good. Timeless smile plus cook good. Keep it till the reaper comes. You rider for the castle. Really don't mind hoes who hassle. But when war come, ready for battle, I see ya. Mama Mia, humble diva. Don't do songs but known for her features. Got so much class, your ass should've been a teacher. Make a nigga really wanna bring a preacher to meet you, girl.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. I thought I'd let you know.
I thought I'd let you know.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Don't lose control.
Don't lose control.
Goddamn, you cold as ice.
I thought I'd let you know.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Don't lose control.
Don't lose control. When the rain it pours, baby girl, when the rain it pours. So how about we go to a place where it don't rain no more? Yeah, you and me. When the rain it pours, baby girl, when the rain it pours. So how about we go to a place where it don't rain no more? Yeah, you and me.
Let me take you to eternal bliss. She said she wanted more than less. She wanted happiness, security. Embrace the insecurity. Sick of lanes. So she said the cure was me. I feel it. It's cool, girl. You rocking with the finest. To make them like this, you have to redefine science. Never go against our reliance. Let's take a trip to an island, order pina coladas. Laugh about the come up when the sun go down. We fuck until the sun up, it's nothing, just me and you. Told me her sex was a weapon, turned around, hit me with a 22 like.
Goddamn, you're cold as ice. I thought I'd let you know. Goddamn, you're cold as ice. Don't lose control. Goddamn, you're cold as ice. I thought I'd let you know. Goddamn, you're cold as ice. Don't lose control.
Okay, it's Wild Out Wednesday on Real Talk with D. We have our first guest in the building. We have Mr. Dwight Slaughter. Dwight, how you doing today?
All right. How you doing, Mr. Hollywood Lee?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Just chilling out. You know what I mean? We're excited to have you on the show. For our listeners who may not know who Dwight Slaughter is, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. My name is Dwight Slaughter. I'm from Compton, California. I was born in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles and Compton. First, I started off in Watts. Then, you know, we migrated to Compton. It was my mother and I. And my book that I wrote, this book was in 20 years of making. All my friends kept telling me to write the book, because I had so much to offer to people who are living in despair, who are hiding from their problems, who feel like they're being mistreated. This book will tell you about my life story, how I journeyed through the process of depression to get to where I am today.
Now, I got to ask, because I see, like, in the rap videos, you know, in the movies, how they portray Compton. Is it really that bad or what?
Yeah, Compton is really off the chain. A lot of gang banging, fighting, craziness. You have to be strong to grow up in this city. It's like Chicago, South Side Chicago, Memphis, you know, the areas that not so much impoverished, because I grew up in a middle-class neighborhood where I guess an annual income was like, I guess back in those days, $25,000, $30,000 back in the 60s. So that wasn't an issue. My issue was not my neighbors, none of that. My issue was my upbringing in my home. I grew up as the only child to a mother, a young mother, had me at 17 years old, and I grew up mental and physical abuse. My dad left when I was about 7 years old, and when that happened, my mother began to take her frustrations out on a seven-year-old. I'm talking about beating me with the brush while she does my hair, telling me that I look like my no-good daddy. Because of you, I cannot have any more children. Because she had a total hysterectomy at 17. And that just threw, I guess, that threw her hormones, whatever, out of whack. I didn't know as a young guy, 7, 8 years old. And that on top of my dad leaving her, she became a different person, I guess. I don't know, but I began to take the brunt of the punishment 4 out of 7 days a week. I'm talking about getting beat down with blood just dripped from your body on a regular basis. My grandmother, my cousins, everybody begging her to stop abusing me. My friends my friends wanted me to move in their home, but the parents afraid to let me move in their home because they knew they had to deal with my mother.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm not in any way making excuses for your mom, but let me ask you this. Do you think her immaturity has something to do with it? Because, you know, being 17, having a child, you're not an adult yourself. So, like I said, I'm not making excuses for it, but do you think that has something to do with it, just being immature?
I believe so. I believe all these young ladies of 17 years old should wait till they're married to have children. 17, 18, 19, 20 is too young. You're not mature enough. You're not ready to deal with society, with the baby. You don't have a husband. You need to restrain from that type of lifestyle. My mother.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, being a young man myself, you know, I'm just saying at that age, I know I wouldn't have been ready to raise no kids. So you know what I mean. And I'm not saying, you know, that was right for her behavior, but I'm just saying like an immature 17-year-old just didn't even understand, you know, what you know, they have another life in their hand. They can't comprehend that because you're not mature enough yet at that
right.
age, you know?
Right. I agree. She wasn't mature enough. And then with the added pressure that she was going through with my dad, they mm-hmm. two young couples married. He leaves at like 23, 24, and then leaves me in that situation because he was going through it himself with her. I mean, she's a straight battle axe. That's what she was. I mean, today, she and I, we are a work in process today. She's alive.
Today?
Thank God she's alive. But she and I still working through my childhood because she's never, ever admitted, I apologize, son. I was wrong. I was sorry, blah, blah, blah. None of that. So we can't even have a good conversation because you have to be honest. And accept the things you have done to your children.
Exactly.
And
oh yeah, exactly.
And
I think the first step might be just accepting that, you know, you were young and you were immature and you made a lot of mistakes. But that's
right.
You know, I think that's key. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody's
right.
perfect. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, Hollywood. Hey, I was young. I'm sorry, but this hasn't happened yet. So.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And as a young boy growing up like that. You become insecure as a human being. I was my moral value was beat down inside of me. When I walk out the door to go to school, I'm scared to death to come home in the evening because I feel I'm going to get beat for something. So you come home, you walk through the alley in slow motion, scared to get to your house, to get to your grass. You scared to knock on the door. You open your door and you listen before you walk in the door to hear any sound that doesn't sound proper. If some cabinets are being slammed, you better turn around and go another direction. That's how I grew up. I grew up scared to come home every day, scared of my mother, feared my mother. I mean, feared her. And then I go out in the world to play sports to alleviate this depression, and I'm insecure. Mm-hmm. And I can't deal with other people. And
that was a great transition. I was just about to bring that up, like how did sports, you know, because I see you were, you know, a pretty good basketball player. You really excelled at basketball. I was going to say, how did that, you know, how did that help you? How did that basketball, you know, take you out of that environment? You know what I mean? Like, I guess for that short period of time when you're on that court, I guess nothing else mattered. You know, you just, you know, like how did that help?
Well, you know, when I was playing ball, that was it. That was my heaven. I was someone. I was a high school All-American. I was the number one player picked in 1972 in the United States of America. And I was big. And that helped my ego. That made me feel good, made me feel like I was someone. Because at home, I felt like I was no one. She used to brag on me, my mother, all the time when I was playing basketball. Oh, my son is this and that. And soon as the people leave the home, I'm this, that, and the other. I'm no longer the person she was bragging about earlier. So, you know, I didn't think she loved me, you know. And that one thing that led, you know, a kid cannot go through this and try to maneuver his way through life with this type of depression in your home. You know, we have to treat our children with love and respect all the time. And I was, and when you find a kid that was insecure and sensitive as I was, I mean, you should be able to see that. You know, I was molested by my two cousins. These are two female cousins. I was like seven
wow.
years old, and they were like 17 and 18 years old. They used to molest me. I mean, come over and babysit me on the weekends, and next thing I know, they having sex with me. And I'm 6 and 7 years old. Like,
right.
Yeah, I don't
exactly.
Even, yeah, I'm like, and then I'm going through this. I'm going through the mental abuse. I'm going through this molestation with my cousins. I'm dealing with my football coaches who had attitudes with me, said that I had an attitude problem, and I did have one because I hated everyone. I hated myself. I hated people. You couldn't tell me mm-hmm. anything. My head was hard as a rock. I didn't want to hear what you had to say if you was an adult because I was rebelling from my mother. I was rebelling from the abuse I was getting at home. And it caused you to lash out to people. But, you know, I mean, and I was going, and this is 1964, 65, I was going through mm-hmm. some racism that you would not believe. When you read my book, if you ever read my book, you wouldn't believe what I was going through at 10, 11, 12 years old. By grown adults. I was the only black kid on an all-white team, and the
mm-hmm.
parents
wow.
treated me like a nigga. You
understand?
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Back in the 60s, that's when all that civil rights movement and stuff was going on, and
right.
the marches and Dr. King and all. Yeah, you growing up in this.
I'm growing up in
that
this. And I don't understand why they treating me this way. I'm running touchdowns. I'm doing this and that, and you're treating me like a dog. I'm like, what's up? You know, so you're going through this at home, you're going through this molestation, you're going through this racism at the same time. So you try to get yourself together and you don't even understand who you are because you're so lost. I was a lost young man for many, many years. But because of the grace of God, I'm able to be on this to you. I've been on
drugs.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you, Dwight. What event or what happened in your life to kind of get, because you seem pretty together now, brother. You got the book and everything. You sound like a very, you know, you're a very positive, motivational type person. So, like, you know, what inspired or what transpired in your life to you know, make you take a different path to show you that everything, that no matter what you went through as a child, that you can, you know, change that as an adult?
Well, let me tell you, Hollywood, I was on crack cocaine for so long, about 10 years. I was doing angel dust, crack, heroin, Tylenol, you name it, I tried it, acid, mushroom, anything to escape from who I was. I was so hurt by being done the way I was done. I went to drugs, and drugs that took me on the path that I could not get off of. So one day, a friend of mine told me to go to church. They were having a revival at the church. I went to the church. I got in line, and I was so drugged out in line. I was just, my mind was just cloudy with drugs. But my spirit is always willing. From a little boy, I prayed every day for God to come and help me to get through what I was going through. So I always loved God all through my life. Even though I was on drugs, treating women wrong, lying to women, having 5, 6, 7 women that didn't care if they knew if I had them because I didn't respect women. I hated women because of what my mother was doing, all these different men. I mean, you know, I hated them. I'm not going to lie to you. So when I got in this line, it was my turn to talk to the pastor. The pastor asked me, was I a drug addict? I said, yes, I am. He asked me, do I believe in God? I said, yes, I do. He anointed me with oil. I fell backwards on ground, and I felt myself falling backwards, and I couldn't stop myself from falling. And I'm like, what is this? You know, because you got this spirit man, this other devil trying to tell you, be strong, hey, you too cool to be falling down, brother, you know. But I felt, you know what I mean, and I couldn't get up off the ground. I tried to get up, and I could not get up, and it felt like somebody had their foot on my chest. And I was like, oh, man, what's going on? And the pastor is calling all these demons out of me, and the demon of this, the demon of that. And I'm like, whoa, this is deep. And so when I got up, I had a headache for about 2 days. But I felt different as a person inside. And you're not going to believe this. this guy I haven't seen in months and months and months. I owed him money. I got home, and an hour later, there was a knock at my door, and it was the drug man. He's going to give me $350 worth of crack cocaine for free. And I looked at him, and I just left church. Just felt like I'd been delivered. And here come the devil at my doorstep with this crack cocaine. And I looked at him, and I showed him my Bible. I said, hey, man, I'm done with that, and you need to talk to Jesus, man. And he's like, what? You a Jesus freak? I said, I don't know what you call it, but I went to church about an hour and a half ago, and I feel different. I don't want the drugs. So he left. And from that day forward, that was like 1988, I've been off drugs. Haven't had You know what I mean?
I never had a second thought about it since. Just cold turkey.
Cold turkey. I mean, changed my friends who I was associating with, moved from the house I was in to five houses from the church. I want to be close to the church for strength. So every day for 7 days a week, Hollywood, I was in church thanking God for delivering me off drugs, getting my head back straight. Then I went to a therapist to get my mind straight, and I found out that I was 8 years old. And I'm like, I was like 48, 49 years old. And the guy telling me, well, you know, you're really eight. I'm like, eight? He said, because you never got over your childhood. You're still living your childhood. You haven't let go of all those scars and hurts and pains and refusals that you went through. And I thought about it, and I went through this therapy for a time now. I'm talking about 2 years, you know, and most black folks don't go to therapists. You know, we think it's a problem.
Exactly. We don't. We for some reason, the black community, they consider a sign of weakness. It's really not, but for some reason, black, I don't need no therapist. Ain't nothing wrong with me, you know?
Let me tell you something. The strongest thing you can do is make that step to go see a therapist if you're having problems. If you can't talk to anyone, you need to go talk to someone to get yourself together. Because I was on my way to death. I tried to commit suicide. I was going to jump off a bridge. All of this is in my book. I don't want to tell the book to everyone, but you'll read about the things that I went through and how I got to where I am today. And believe me, Hollywood, it's the grace of God that got me here speaking to you today, because I should have been dead a long time ago.
I was going to ask, like, okay, now, because I always ask authors when they come to the show, did you always know you were going to be an author, or just through life experiences led you to write a book? Like, how did this come about?
You know, Hollywood, I didn't even know I had the writing skills in me. But I wrote word for word of this book by myself. No ghostwriter, me. And I sit there at my laptop, and I asked God to help me through this, and I started typing. And I started from a childhood, and I just went on and went on and went on, and there's the book. And now I sit back.
Wow.
That's part one. I got part two coming now. I got another book will come out after this one, a continuing of this book.
Yeah, this definitely sounds like a story that can keep going. I was going to say, now, how long did it take you to write the book? You know, how long did it take you to actually, you know, finish writing it?
It took me approximately 3 months. Every day.
Oh, yeah, you were definitely on it, because I talked to someone. They said, well, you know, it took me 3 years. You know, I write it, then I, you know, get writer's block, and I start again, then I get to doing other projects, and then, you know, finally get it done. And so you sat down and knocked it out.
Yeah, see, I don't believe in that writer's block stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know what that's all about, because if it's in you, it's in you. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're a writer, it's in you. Whatever's in you, it's in you. So I don't know about the mental block. I just had flowing with it, and I looked up, and I was like, wow, the end of this story. But I said, well, I got other stuff to continue to talk about of the story. So now I've begun part two of this story, because it's a story for young and old. If you're a young kid going through trials and tribulations at your home, and you have no one to talk to, you talk to God. And you try to be strong, and you stay strong in yourself. You don't let nobody tell you that you cannot make it, because you can make it. You can, if you fall down, you get up and you finish. Don't lay down. I've been in shelters. I've been on drugs. I have did it all, Hollywood. You named it, I done did it. I done fought it. And God still saved me to be able today to have a son, 6'9", 240, in the basketball, Real Madrid, Spain, on a team that's 49-1. He used to play with the Miami Heat. He's 28 years old. So that's my comeback on y'all. You feel me? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. This sounds like it should be a movie. Have you thought about maybe making your book into a movie? You know, you see them great movies on, like, Lifetime Channel and stuff like that. You ever thought about making this into a movie?
Well, you know what, Hollywood? Everyone that has read the book just asked me the same question you just asked. And if someone wanted to make it in a movie, you know, I'm not going to say no. I'm down for that. You know?
Oh, okay. It's such a powerful story, you know?
I really do believe, thank you, you know, in it, but you know what, Hollywood, I made it through, and now, it, you know, life is fun. I have a son now, 13 years old. He plays AAU ball, and I'm working out with him, and my life is happy. You know, all those things I went through in the past is washed away. When I wrote that book, demons left me. You wouldn't believe. It helped me so much. And I just thank God that I'm here today able to talk to you. And if this book leads to that type of endeavor, a movie, if you can help me, help me. I don't turn away no help.
Oh, exactly. Well, yeah, you know, you just never know, because, like I said, this is such a powerful story. And I think here's the problem, because, you know, and I'm not putting nobody, but a lot of people don't read. You know what I'm saying? Me, I read. A lot of nights I got insomnia, so I'll read a book so I can get to sleep. But, a lot of people just don't pick up a book and read. You know what I mean? A lot of people do not do it.
Absolutely. And if this story needs to get out, and the best way to get it out is be a movie.
Exactly, visual. People can connect with it that way as well. For those who don't, because you know people pick it up and gonna say, man, this is a great read. But you know they tell somebody about it. They're not. I mean, the average person will go pick up and read. You know, this is a pretty nice fast book. You know, pick up and read it all. I'm not reading all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. And you know, I hate to stereotype, but, you know, we as black people, we don't like to read.
Exactly. Unless it's on Instagram or something like that, or in a magazine.
We need to read. Our kids need to sit at home, put the technology down, pick up a book, and read. We have to be able to do our math and read and write.
We must
teach our kids those things. Turn that, man. I take my 13-year-old. I take his stuff from him every chance I get. If he slips 1 second, give me that, and he has everything you can think of, and give me that, because I don't even like
that whole little scenario. I'm gonna tell you why it's getting out of hand. Because these kids are at school on their phone texting and talking on the phone and on Facebook and Instagram when you should be learning. So that's the problem I had with it. And then, you know, with the news, I'm like, you're not going to scare me into doing something that I don't agree with. Bottom line, if someone's going to kidnap your child, they're not going to stop kidnapping because they have a phone. What are they going to say, get back, I got a phone? I don't think that's going to happen. You know what I mean? They're going to do it.
Absolutely, I agree. And another thing technology does, our kids, our young men, what do they do now? They don't go outside and play basketball and football in the street.
Nope.
What they do? They in their room.
They sit at home online. In their room, either playing a video game or on Facebook or Instagram.
But listen to me, Hollywood. That is a trick. That is a trick. Because back in the day, we didn't have those things. So what did we do? We stayed on the court 8-9 hours
exactly.
a day.
You went out and played sports. Football, you play basketball. Man, you play kickball. You play you got exercise. And you find out that, hey, man, I'm kind of good in this sport. You see what I'm saying? But you don't know that because you never come out the side. Like, you can go outside right now. I'm talking about, I live a couple blocks away from a very nice basketball court, right? Empty. fiberglass backboards out there. And it's like 70 degrees right now. Nobody's out there. You know?
They don't know you?
It's coming up, like I said, when I was younger, 70 degrees meant the whole neighborhood would have been outside on that court. And I'm sure you can attest to that, Dwight.
That's right. I mean, really. When I grew up, I left my house in the morning, Saturday morning at 7, 8 o'clock. My mother didn't see me again until like 6, 7 in the evening. Because why? I'm at the park shooting jump shots. Why? Because I wanted to be Walt Frazier. I wanted to be Earl Monroe. So what did I do? I worked on my game all day, every day. The kids today, I have to make my son go outside and shoot baskets because he thinks life is easy. You know, it's going to come. It's going to come to me. Nothing's going to come to you if you don't work for it. I mean, dig down deep. Did you see the game last night, the Houston Rockets and the Thunder?
No, I didn't get a chance to catch it.
Well, if you would have saw that game, you would have saw this guy named Patrick, for the, number two for the Houston Rockets. He was defending Russell Westbrook the way we did back in the day. I mean, he put defense on him. I'm talking about got up in him. These kids today don't want to play defense. They don't want to do anything but shoot the three-point shot. No mid-range game. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you, if they go back to the time when we played, you shoot that 15, 16-footer, these ball players would be better. But they want to shoot threes all day.
I said, you still get out there sometime from time to time and do something?
Oh, no, my man. I'm done with the ball, man. You know, I have a bad left knee that needs surgery on that knee. So, you know, I just watch and, you know, and just tell my son, you know, my advice and what he should do to get better. But I don't participate anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I can understand that. You know, little more distinguished now. You like, because when you get older, you know, everything starts to ache and stuff. You don't want to get out there and especially, you know, you don't get out there. That ain't your job to do that. You know, mess around, come on. Right, I'm just saying, you out there to have some fun, and you mess around, have a bad week.
You're right.
Because, you know, you don't bounce up like you used to. Like, you know, back when you was younger, you bounce, you fall, twist your ankle, something, you back up the next day.
Right. That's over with now, my man.
Right.
None of that.
Exactly. Damn, you're going to be out of work for a week or two. You know, sitting on the sidelines like, what was I thinking?
Right. But you know what? I'm on my way to Spain in April the 3rd. I'm going to Spain to do a book signing. And I would like to tell your listeners, if they go online to DwightSlaughter.com or at SlaughterDwight on the Twitter, they can see the events that's coming up that I'm doing. I'm going to Real Madrid, Spain, to do a book signing and a radio show with my son.
Oh, okay, yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, we would definitely post that up. When you put it up, I'll repost it. It's weird once you put it up. And do they go to your site to buy the book, or where do they get the book from? Tell them this is where they can get the actual
book. They can get the book at Amazon.com, iTunes, Barnes & Noble, and they can download it on their Kindle.
Download the version. They can't do that. Now, can they connect to you, give out your site? I heard you said Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and they can download it for the Kindle. Now, one more time, give me your media site.
They can go to Outskirts Press. That's my publisher. And DwightSlaughter.com. You go on that line, you can order it online, then we'll have it delivered to you. But I think it's a great read. I think every young and adult should read it, and they'd be able to, if a parent is going to speak with their children, they'd be able to, I say my book is some type of remedy, but at least you can see, well, hey, this young man, I raised three boys by myself, Hollywood, without a mother, three boys. Back in the day.
As a single dad, and that gives them a different perspective because you know why, Dwight, we always see the side where the single parent mom. You rarely get to see the aspect of a single parent dad.
Thank you. I wasn't one of these beat dads that didn't care about their children. Let me tell you something. I struggled to raise my sons. I stole food. I stole food from grocery stores to feed them when I didn't have a job. Because I couldn't get any money from their mother to help me feed them. So I had to go out and steal food to feed them. I had done it all. But now that's all under Brother Jesus Christ. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus, and I go forward and do the right things that I should be doing, and I just want to help and mentor kids and adults in their trials and tribulations.
Now, say someone wants to give that to you for speaking again. Should they hit DwightSpider.com? Is the contact information on there? If someone would listen and say, hey, you know, we want to get this guy to maybe speak to our youth. You know, we have a, you know, we've had, like, I've had pastors and reverends on the show. So, you know, you may have a church group organization or something that may want you to come speak with their youth. What's the best way to get in contact with you?
You can go online to DwightStar.com and put in your request, or you can request at OutskirtsPress.com.
Man, I really enjoyed talking to you today, Dwight Slaughter. Do you have anybody you want to give a shout-out to, anybody you want to mention on the show?
I'd like to give a shout-out to my lovely wife, Tara Slaughter, and my lovely, beautiful son, Marcus Slaughter and Silas Slaughter. I love you all, and God bless. And Hollywood Lee, I really appreciate this time I spend with you, and God bless you also.
Okay, well, yeah, y'all heard it here first. We're going to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back. Real talk with Lee.
Do what you want to.
Nobody tell you.
Women of faith, you are invited to sign up for a prayer challenge today. Worrying and complaining doesn't change much, but prayer can. The challenge, pray each day for a man in your life, a father, a husband, a brother. Nina E. Borum will send you a daily email prayer to pray from her new book, Praying for Men of Power. Order it today on Amazon.com and sign up for the prayer challenge now at TrinityGal.com. When women of faith unite in prayer, stand back and watch the change.
Type of lady that can own the night. Angel in the dress, blessing in disguise. When hearts connect, you can see it in the eyes. No metaphor for your aura, baby, you got it. In your love bank, let me make a deposit. Give you my time before I give you my wallet. Give you the world just cause you deserve it. Never have I seen a picture so perfect. Go girl, work it, work out just to look good. Time to smile plus cook good. Keep it till the reaper comes. True rider for the castle. Really don't mind hoes who hassle. But when war come, ready for battle, I see Mama Mia, humble diva. Don't do songs, but known for her features. Got so much class, your ass should've been a teacher. Make a nigga really wanna bring a preacher to meet you, girl.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Thought I'd let you know.
I thought I'd let you know.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Don't lose control.
Don't lose control.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Thought I'd let you know.
I thought I'd let you know.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Don't lose control.
Don't lose control. When the rain it pours, baby girl, when the rain it pours. So how about we go to a place where it don't rain no more? Yeah, you and me. When the rain it pours, baby girl, when the rain it pours. So how about we go to a place where it don't rain no more? Yeah, you and me. Let me take you to eternal bliss. She said she wanted more than less. She wanted happiness, security. Embrace the insecurity. Sick of lanes. So she said the cure was me. I feel it. It's cool, girl. You rocking with the finest. To make them like this, you have to redefine science. Never go against our reliance. Let's take a trip to an island. Order pina coladas. Laugh about the come up when the sun go down. We fuck until the sun up. It's nothing, just me and you. Told me her sex was a weapon. Turned around, hit me with a 22. Like...
I thought I'd let you know. Goddamn, you cold as ice. Don't lose control.
Don't lose control.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Thought I'd let you know.
I thought I'd let you know.
Goddamn, you cold as ice. Don't lose control.
Don't lose control.
So it's like, we gon' do this, nigga. We up through here.
What up, B?
Let go.
New York, nigga, say speak.
River. Gutter. Travel.
All I know is
the grind. No fake DP in that bitch.
They know what we do.
Super fat.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Black man, the rough.
All I know is the street. So I keep me a hustle. All I know is the grind. Flip it and make it double. They know I'm a beast, and they don't want the trouble. And we in this bitch like Magnum rubber. All I know is the streets, so I keep me a hustle. All I know is the grind. Flip it and make it double. They know I'm a beast, and they don't want the trouble. And we in this bitch like Magnum rubber.
Style phone to my left hand, in my back pocket, my bitch rack. Smell like a $1 million. Now where the fuck is them bitches at? Gather up about a meeting slow. Just tell me where the sender at. Return the sender, I fuck your girl and I send her back. January through December, yes I'm moving that pack. Hit her with that wood, she fell in love with that bat. Nothing but that good, them other niggas shit whack. Bitch, I'm in the hood, fuck you thought I was back. Dynamite like JJ, make that white girl an acrobat. Front flip, back flip, cartwheel.
They on my dick just like Trojan. Tell her, baby, I'm posted. With that ratchet in the ranches, in them sex fully loaded. A 12-4-7, I ain't stingy with them shells, I let you hold. Yeah, I'm flyer than a concrete man.
get away clean like detergent. Karma is a bitch, I fall so friendly to Sunday service. That reaper got me nervous, always swerving, riding dirt. Right. The city where it be hot, yeah, this movement can't be stopped. Dodging roadblocks from bottom, my niggas with me on the top.
All I know is the streets, so I keep me a hustle. All I know is the grind, flip it and make it double. They know I'm a beast, and they don't want the trouble. And we in this bitch like Magnum rubber. All I know is the streets, so I keep me a hustle. All I know is the grind, flip it and make it double. They know I'm a beast, and they don't want the trouble. And we in this bitch like Magnum rubber.
Hey, it's a movement, I'm on my new shit. Just so stupid, flow so ruthless. Ain't no blueprint, my whip ruthless. Boy, you all talk, ain't gon' do shit. Slow the fuck down with that talking. You best be backing up off me. I'm an everyday grind, ain't bout shit. I trap out multiple houses. I'm a problem and you found it. Keep a team of killers around me. From DeKalb to Fulton County, I dive in but they drowning. Nigga, don't overstep your boundaries. On green Trump crowned, if you ain't from around here, then don't get caught down here.
Stack it, you laying it out. Making a freeze, wanna put my car out. I be the right one when it comes to a drop to MTV. Take a trip to my house. I'm riding strong, talking to my cell phone. Pulling from the fly, looking like a movie. Stop by the store, come back and do. We got girls in the crib, smoking towards the jacuzzi. Got to run to the crib with a two-piece on. They keep on calling my cellular phone. They wanna give me job one, but I'm taking too long. Chill, baby girl, don't wait till the snow roll. I don't need when I open it up. Get a pain when I cruise, get a die. Cause your new boyfriend can't do it like this. Money in my pit when I walk in the store. Making change on my feet, rocking new shit clothes. Blue deal, 45, post on my waist. Better watch your girl before I take your place.
All I know is the street, so I keep me a hustle. All I know is the grind, flip it and make it double. They know I'm a beast, and they don't want the trouble. And we in this bitch like Magnum rubber. All I know is the street, so I keep me a hustle. All I know is the grind, flip it and make it double. They know I'm a beast, and they don't want the trouble. And we in this bitch like Magnum rubber.
All right, man, we had another good show today on Wild Out Wednesdays, man. Y'all come back tomorrow for Thirsty Thursdays. You know, you already know what it is. Real Talk with Lee. We all, oh, as always, I must leave y'all with that word of encouragement. The family that blazes together stays together. And remember, don't smoke it all in one place. We out. I'll holler back.
Take it down.